Roll up, ladies and gentlemen, to the greatest podcast on earth! Step right up and experience the magnificence that is the Two Ring Circus Podcast! You'll gasp, you'll laugh, and you'll be amazed at what comes next.
Amazing.
Don't worry about the smell. It's just the stars of our show, Tom Italiano.
Did we have to start again and watch the babies?
And Matt Gresham.
Is it quicker than going out to the car?
Maybe. Welcome!
Hey. Is it over? I think it's over.
It's over.
Ah, then it's over. Is this the start of the podcast?
Sure. Wow. Tired much?
So good at this.
Jesus.
Happy New Year.
Oh, happy New Year. Happy New Beer.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, look, here's one that we prepared earlier.
I didn't get you Coopers because I know you don't like it.
Do you know what? I do really like Coopers. I like the taste of the Coopers, but it really does give me a headache within a few minutes of drinking it.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I got you a good Welsh beer.
The Italian Welsh?
Yeah.
Yeah. The nasty Atsuro. It's a nasty asshole.
Oh, Jesus.
If you are wondering why we are so delirium, it's because it's been the end of the year and we're musician types and we've done lots of gigs and stuff. But also, we've just spent the last 2 days rehearsing for our Inside Zero reunion gig, the first time in 14 years.
Yeah.
And it's been really hard work.
You know what was funny as well was, you know, you mentioned in rehearsal today that you loved that Matthew Robinson, the keyboard player, singer, songwriter, writes the songs when he... On his cheat sheets from other people's songs, from songs that Tom has written, songs that I've written. So he does it on his own stuff as well. Well, it's been 14 years since we played. Wow, I have a point and I'm going to get to it. 2001, songs that we played together, written in 2001 even. So it's
fun. Oh, has he got written copyright?
Yeah.
Oh, has he got copyright?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Well, I said as everyone was packing up, I go, 2019, 18 years into making this gig. And what's wacky too is obviously Steve and Richie, and I recorded the Rubber Band album, which is my first CD, the one I gave to you.
2 for 1 Dead End, which was the whole crux of the biscuit.
Best friends. That was 20 years this year. Which I also said, having listened to it recently, and how much I have improved as a singer since then, which is obviously which is obviously a really good thing to be, if you've done something for another 20 years, to be a bit better at it.
Realistically, you would think it would happen just by osmosis, but B, and yes, I'm aware that I said A, but two, it also should be what we all aim for. You want to get a little bit better at something every day. That's the whole key to existence.
It's absolutely true, and it's definitely
a fulfilling existence.
Well, it's certainly something that I have consciously practiced and aimed for over that period of time. But the great thing about being a musician and recording things is that you do have, you have. What are they called? You have artifacts of the time, from the times that you have done things. So you have a CD that you did 20 years ago, and you can actually objectively, as much as you can objectively look at your own performance of something, go, I am actually better. So that thing that I've tried to do over 20 years, which is get better, I am better. That's good.
Different to that is when I... like almost anathema to that from my perspective as a guitarist is I'm certainly a lot better at some stuff. I'm a lot better at the stuff that I now do all the time. Mm. Like solo acoustic stuff. Yeah. Like I mean, I was always...
I am not a better guitarist than I was back then. That's definitely the case.
The stuff that I used to be able to do when I was in bands that required me to do fucking tapping stuff. I wouldn't have done that for...
20 years?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Completely understand. So, when I say I'm not, I certainly have a voice on my instrument that I didn't have when I was younger. Like, I could play a lot of stuff, but I didn't have my thing yet, and I definitely do now.
Yeah.
But along with that comes facility on my instrument that I no longer have.
Actually, we're saying the same thing.
Which is interesting because a couple of the songs that we have some pretty technical guitar solos, and I've had to learn them, and they're hard.
Like,
yeah. I used to be able to just play like that all the time.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Like the licking.
No, you couldn't. That sounds like what I was saying.
No, the licking inconsistently, that fast tapping lick at the end, like that's a real stretch.
But that was something you, like you wrote that solo.
Mm.
Whereas the solos you play when we're at gigs and stuff, they're all improv.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's not that you can't play that anymore. That's you actually have physically had to go back and mentally, I just said physically and mentally.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is I couldn't just play it. That was half an hour of going, how do I do, not just working it out, but then, I can't play like, I don't, my fingers don't do that anymore because I never play like that. Yeah.
Wow, okay, so it really is that.
So I used to, as around that time, I would sit, around that time, I played in bands. I did no acoustic gigs. I played in it was just out of doing 6 nights a week in Passion Fruit Pulp, and then I joined Ramjet. you've run out. Look out! Don't go. You're wrapped up in this.
Sorry.
Excellent.
Keep your,
come back.
You're good.
So I didn't. So I played electric guitar all day every day, and then when I was at home, I'd sit on the couch and play electric guitar. Because, that's what I did. And life's not like that anymore. And that's just how that is. Anyway.
And so I surprisingly often. Surprisingly often I have conversations with random people who just present themselves at my doorstep and things like that. Like, oh, I don't know, the fucking postman dropped something off the other day and I think I answered the door and I had a guitar in my hand. I was probably relearning Inside Zero stuff. You play, yeah. He said, I'd love to play, but am I too old? And he's probably 40-something. I said, no, mate, no. And it's not within reasonable parameters. It's not ever about being too old to learn how to do something. It's about having the time to devote to it. And you don't think? You're processing that.
Mm.
When we were young and we had nothing else to do but sit on the couch and play guitar, well, that's how we kind of developed into being halfway decent at what we do.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're a grown adult and you've got potentially kids and a wife and a family and all that sort of stuff, like, you don't have the time to sit in your house all day, every day, or all night until 5 o'clock in the morning and just play and just listen to music and just jam along and all that sort of stuff.
Mm.
You've gone very quiet. The crowd's gone quiet.
Mm. It's interesting because I have heard that come out of my mouth too, that same thing. And then over the recent months when I've thought about that, the thing that we say is, I don't have time. And it's like, actually, I could probably satisfy the requirements of the important things in my life, as in like the work that I do, the spending time with my loved ones, right? And if I was really careful and filter out the stuff I don't need to do, I still have 3 or 4 hours a day to spend doing that. And I actually think everyone does. I just think that I really do believe that people do have that time. It's just that their idea is that they don't. And part of their day is the wind down and the Netflix and the...
Absolutely.
And, you know, well, you could just have another extra half an hour of sleep before I have a long day. You know, whereas you could get up half an hour earlier and do your half an hour practice if you really wanted to get good at guitar, or you wanted to get good at painting, or you wanted to write a book, you could do that.
Part of my rationale of having those conversations with those people, though, is to demonstrate to them that there is that opportunity there.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's more about, no, it's not about being too old.
Certainly not about being too old, no. And even what's interesting, there's a guy who, Robert Greene is an author, he's written a bunch of books, like, you know, the 48 Rules of War and stuff like that. He's, you know, effectively does great analysis of truisms of the world. And he's got a new one, the 40-something Rules of Human Nature. And he basically looks at historical events, many historical events, and analyzes them, whether they're, and what can be learned from things. But he tells his story in a TED talk about, you know, I really just jumped from thing to thing to thing to thing. I had over 50 jobs before I was 35, and I wanted to be a writer when I was a kid, and I had people just kept telling me that I wasn't good enough, like my writing wasn't good, I didn't have a voice or that kind of thing. And so I kind of quit and then went traveling the world and did all these odd jobs. And eventually I met someone who was a book, not a book publisher, but what, you know, the people who get an idea for a book and they get someone else to write it and then they sell it on to a publisher. I can't remember what that's called.
No, neither can I.
He met someone.
But it's like commissioning art.
Yeah, yeah. He met someone and he said, you got any good ideas for a book? And he said, and his first book was, I think, the something, 40-something Rules of War. And he goes, well, do me a treatment and, you know, we're shopping around and if someone, you know, someone wants to, or he said, do me a treatment, then write me a bit, and then we're chopping around and see if anyone will pick it up. It turned out to be like a real bestseller, and he's written a whole bunch of same kind of things since.
And what's his name?
Robert Greene.
Robert Greene. I kept thinking Graham Greene. Is Graham Greene the guy who wrote The Wind in the Willows? Or did he write The Quiet American?
I think he wrote The Quiet American. I think it was Graham... Kenneth Graham wrote Wind in the
Willows. Kenneth Graham, yep. Thank you. Kenneth Graham Greene. Book Verges.
Yeah, here we go.
Verges.
Oh, okay. Verges. we're on the precipice.
Only if we're nearby a church. Go on.
Well, we'll need one after this. Anyway, the point I'm getting at, and it's roundabout to the thing we're talking about, is so eventually, after having a full life into his late 30s, he became an author, became a writer.
Yeah.
But he needed to have a life to kind of work out what his voice was. And I think there's an element of Alan Rickman was someone as well. Like, you know, he didn't become an actor till he was in his mid 40s.
Wild, isn't it?
And he wanted to, as he never did. And then he went, well, now I'm going to give it a go. And I think almost like once you get to a point where you can start stripping away the, oh, that's, I can't do what I want to do because of that. And you go, actually, what if I get rid of that one? Right, and go, well, I've got one less obstacle in my way. And then you go, well, I've just got rid of an obstacle. Are there any other obstacles I can get rid of? Bang, bang, bang. And you go, well, maybe I can do that. Because there's not a lot of people like the Matthew Robinsons of the world who just go, I'm going to be a musical theatre writer and I'm going to stick at it for 20 years.
Do you want to explain who Matthew Robinson is?
Matthew Robinson.
You were perhaps about to, but yes. I'm giving you an in.
I was trying to go, what do they call that? A callback to Inside Zero, one of the members and the other writer other than you and I in the band, from the time we met, wanted to write musicals. He also wanted to have, you know, write, you know, pop rock songs and things like that and have a band. But, and I think being in a band helped him go, well, that's what I write there. And that's not for musicals, but that is. It almost kind of...
It is quite remarkable how he is able to do both, because his music theatre songs are their music theatre songs.
Yeah.
They just have all that light and shade and he's a remarkable writer. Mm. Really is.
He really is.
No, he really is.
And interestingly, that we're talking about this, about your ideas of whether you can do something or not, or is it too late for me? Getting ready to do my next album thing in February and
album, EP,
no album,
album.
Yeah,
how many songs?
12.
12.
Hopefully 12.
No, 11.
I do like 11 better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually like 9. I like the old school kind of Billy Joel, Paul Simon 9 song album.
Yeah, I know, but 9's still...
Well, the reason why more than an EP is because almost everyone who got the last one, the feedback was, it's not long enough, mate. Like, it's a trip.
You know why?
It's a trip to the shops and back.
Well, it would have been longer if you just put more fucking guitar solos in it.
That's true.
Yeah.
All the songs have a guitar solo.
No, they don't.
Do they? No, they do. Technically, they all have a guitar solo. Yeah, but I've definitely tried to write short, snappy songs.
Mm.
They're longer songs on this thing. But the point I was trying to, I was about to get to, was that one of the exercises I've gone through is to try to work out why am I doing this? Like, why do I still write songs? That's been a really interesting exercise to kind of analyze my life and the last 40 years of it, and work out where was I at when I wasn't writing songs? What happened to me? And like, I was miserable and depressed and, suicidal. And when I started writing songs again, I could function in the world. So where is it? What is the role of... So it's not just I want to make another album because I want to make, I want to do something like that. It's like, actually, no, it plays a remarkably important function in my everyday life to have something to work towards. In the last 20 years since the Rubber Band album and then getting into Inside Zero, I can actually look at year on year and look at when I was being creative and writing music that was going to be a project that was going to get recorded, whether it was that band or whether it was playing with Zeke and his band, and the times when there was a gap were the times where I was an absolute wreck.
Yeah, right.
And not so there's part of me that really feels like the reason I'm doing another album is also because I kind of feel responsible for showing people who are my age that if there's something you really want to do that you're passionate about, you should do it, because if you're not doing it, it can be really bad for you. And that's been a really cool exercise to do that. And even getting this together, it's like, oh my God, I've not felt this alive. And I've been good the last couple of years, like really good, but just to getting to a room and solving that puzzle of how do I sing that with these three guys, it's been, it's invigorating.
I'm really
I haven't even had half a beer.
No, I know. Well, you fucking, I'm really, really looking forward to Saturday. And I wasn't apprehensive in the run-up to it, but I certainly wasn't apprehensive or nervous about us coming together and being able to do the job. I think I was a little bit gun-shy about me being able to do the job.
Because it's practically the crummiest time of year to get prepared to do something like this? Because we're super busy.
I shouldn't have said that. Let's move on to something else.
Oh, what? Oh, not really?
Yep.
Oh.
I fucked up.
Go for it. You can tell us.
No, no, I can't. I'm really, really looking forward to Saturday. Right. And it's going to be really good fun. And the last couple of days of us doing this together has been really great.
Hmm.
And it was great from the moment we started.
Yeah. Like, it just everyone was really
natural, easy. And for all my potential concerns about, it's been a long time since I've even played these songs. And obviously I had to go back and relearn them. But there was, like a couple of people said to me, ah, it'll just come back to you. It's like, yeah, but I can't even tell you the keys of any of these songs. But I sat down and listened to them and put my hand on the guitar. It's like, oh, no, okay, that's actually, no, actually, it does make sense. It does. Bits, other bits didn't at all.
Certainly when, so we, this is a kind of a cute story. We, a couple of months ago, we went to Steve, the bass player's house, and he put on these live, you know this, but I'm telling these guys.
This is a ripper story.
He put on these two live DVDs. So there were two gigs we did, which were, I assume because of sound constraint issues, we weren't allowed to have drums. So they were acoustic gigs. So we did them as a four piece. But Richie, our drummer, came along and filmed them. So we have copies of them. And Steve said, oh, I got the live at blah, blah, blah discs off Richie. And I said, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, so first of all, like I was, I don't ever remember playing at that place. I've never heard of that place. And then. So we're chatting and it's playing in the background.
It's playing in the background. Yeah. And Steve said, oh, this is that song the last time. Love this song. And I went, I've never even heard this song. And Steve's gone, what? And I went, I swear I've never heard this song. And then I start singing and Steve's gone, dude, you wrote this song. And I'm singing lead vocal in it and I have zero recollection from the beginning to the end of it. I'm in my little small brain, I have never heard this song before.
This is gonna be the last time that love is gonna get in the way.
See? Now I remember it because I heard it a couple of months ago at Steve's.
Brilliant.
But, yeah, really quite funny how some things just go, ooh, what? I don't remember that at all. But you're right. Other things just like, oh, that's in my hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that well.
Yeah, that genuinely surprised me. And honestly, I had this conversation yesterday with you guys as we were packing up, but there was an element of, I've done a lot of gigs. I've done a lot of singing between then and now. And I've watched a lot of my musical influences, if not find it kind of idols and heroes, really go downhill.
Like lose their voices.
In that period of time. And yeah, they're older than me, but they're still, fuck, they're older than me, but they actually don't gig as much as me.
That is very true. It's quite interesting. Even having the conversations with Matt Robinson today, and we're going to do a rehearsal on the day of the gig. And he's like, I'm not going to sing at that rehearsal because there's no way I can do a rehearsal and then do a gig.
Mm.
And, you know, we do two gigs on a Friday, two gigs on a Saturday, two gigs on a Sunday. So we're like, yeah, your rehearsal to a gig, no worries.
Well,
just in our brain.
I was shoddy today.
You were not.
I don't know. Last night's gig that you and I did after rehearsal all day was
lovely.
It was lovely. But it was the 18th or 19th gig in 14 or 15 days or something like that. Like it was, as in without a day off in there. So I was rough. I was rough today. Rough.
You were loud today as well.
What?
You repositioned that mic and went loud on the thing.
Sorry, dude.
It's all right.
Compress me.
Will do.
No, sorry. I said compress. I meant impress.
I think he wants me to skull the rest of this
video. Anyway, point being that it was in some small way kind of energizing or I can't think of the word I'm looking for. I've lost my perspicacity.
I think you left it over there on the...
Thanks, mate.
I think it's a wallet, though.
that I would come back after 14 years having passed and still be able to sing some of those things because they're parts. They're big.
You did also write your own... The songs that you wrote for yourself to sing are also big sings.
What a dick.
They're big sings, man. I think
they kind of are, aren't they? Like those three particularly, oh, Miss You More and Princess Jesus. Pleasure and Tumble Down They Are.
Tumble Down, like for everyone who's listening to this, so physiologically, like we're all built the same way, the same parts, but the things that make singers sound different are just, you know, how tall you are, how short you are, and the, you know, the size of your neck and the space between here and there, all those things. It's not just vocal cords. It's like a whole bunch of other stuff. And your ability to conceptualize where a note or a vowel goes through your head, all that kind of stuff.
Which is why at a gig you will often see me look up if I'm looking for a top note, because I'm looking for the top note.
And if I'm going to hit...
I can see where it is.
Yep. And if I go to hit a top note, I drop my knees.
Oh, really?
So the idea, because it's this thing, like psychologically you go, oh, this is high, but if you drop your body takes over the mental concept.
Really?
Yeah, so you do it big time. One of the things that you do when you go for a big high note is you lean back into it, right? So it's almost this, and you drop your knees and you lean back. You know when you do those big notes?
Do I?
Yeah, when you're singing microphone like this, and you'll lean back, and the thing that will happen is because of that, you'll open up your chest and the note will just come straight through your palate.
Fuck, eh? Look at this guy. He knows some stuff.
Now, it's interesting for someone like me with a hair-lip cleft palate. Well, my palate's like real flat, it doesn't work like it does for other people.
Yeah, yeah.
I get benefits of that, like, as well. But it's really interesting to be in a room with four people who are singing and then just watch, you know, when we're trying to hit a vowel, how different people's face needs to move in order to get the same sound.
Yeah, you've done a lot of smiling in the last 2 days.
Oh, yeah, in order to make sure that... The other thing too, in order to do that, to get the right vowel, also when you're like that, you don't do the vibrato, because when four people sing together, you really want to try and make that a consistent sound. So all these things that you're listening to, and how do I do that again? And that's exciting.
So that's that. Even that vibrato thing, that's really interesting, because that's where bands like Extreme, who of course... really got all their vocal harmony cues from Queen. No vibrato. Like their block harmonies are just, well, like playing a chord on a guitar. Like you're not doing this, it's just the notes and there they are.
Yeah.
That's what makes it sound amazing.
Well, there's those subtle things, and, you know, a lot of the time, what's interesting about being a band in a room by ourselves together is, like, a lot of time we have to come up with those observations ourselves and then police it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're trying to pick up with someone, like he's obviously great at it because he spent so much time in rehearsal rooms with singers on
lots of different singers.
So the way he's able to, hear what the problem is, but then gently... make a suggestion. Really great. I think that was the way he does that. But often with a band, which is why bands go into a studio for X amount of months and record X amount of songs together with a producer. The producer goes, you need to do this to be able to make that work like that. A lot harder to do when you're trying to moderate it as a group. Because you're just so in your own space.
Really hard when you're a part of making the noise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple of times today, the conversation went, what's going on here? Why? What's that note?
Absolutely. Because you're in the middle of it and you hear that something's wrong, but you actually don't know if it's you or the person standing next to you or the person on the other side of the room. The room. Yeah.
So it's been great. I've just been... For it to be the 1st and 2nd of January to start the year... with such a good
project. That's right. Today is the 2nd of January. Yesterday, on New Year's Day, we played together for the first time. It's pretty cool. So when is this potentially coming out? Thursday or
tomorrow.
Late Thursday or something?
Yeah, when you get to it tomorrow.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
It means the gig is within a couple of days of this coming out. So,
come.
Because I think it'll be quite, well, it'll be special for us.
But there's plenty of people who are coming who, you know, were there from the start, you know, that jumped on board from when we were doing cover band stuff together, and then we're all the way through that. So it's going to be really nice to share that with those people who, you know, have come to all of our other stuff and been part of that. I can say Other than my girlfriend, everybody who is a regular part of my life I have met through playing music. The people I catch up with, every one of them.
There's not, shit. I've never thought of it like that. It's almost certainly true for me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now occasionally some old workmate like pops up and we have a catch up, right? But that's you know, and somewhere like my friend Tim, who I met at work 16 years ago, but it was the same time as this, and he came to those gigs and he's been at all my original gigs, and we're like, one of the things that has bonded us together is the fact that I've been in these little creative projects, right? We haven't worked together for ages. He still comes along and is part of that.
You've blown my tiny mind.
Yeah. Scotty Carpenter, who is the reason why this is happening, really, because he, for the last 15 years, every time I've seen him at one of our creative things, and said, so when's the Inside Zero revolution? reunion. And we're like, oh, you know, it'll happen one day. And if he hadn't been honored us many times, it wouldn't have happened. So
I laugh when I think back to us all getting together with Matt 6 or 8 months ago, whenever the hell it was.
July.
Matthew.
It's July, because I've been with Kat for about 2 weeks. Yeah.
Mm. Everything prior to that was BC.
BC, yeah.
2018
and
BC.
For her, it's all AD now.
Oh.
Good, huh?
Fuck me.
Yeah.
That's golden. Oh, well done, Domcat.
No worries.
So.
Yeah. It's Team Dix.
So we
have Sprocket's involved. DCS.
Jesus. No, I don't like that.
Nah, I do.
Okay, good.
I didn't mean it like that.
No, it's too late.
Too late.
You put it out there and it's got cold and wet. So, just where we caught up with Matt, because he happened to be back in the country, because he lives in New York.
Mm.
On the Upper East Side.
West.
I learned. What?
West.
Oh, which is the good part?
The East is the rich side.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. But West is, it's West, 103rd and Broadway, really cool side.
Yeah?
Yeah. Much closer to decent coffee.
Look at you.
I only know that.
Fucking world
traveler. I only know that because 2 years ago I stayed with Rory and he was 137th and Broadway.
Yeah. They literally just name their streets.
Fuck, it's ingenious.
Ingenious?
It's ingenious, man. Like, you go anywhere you go in America, you get to the main town and you're on first and third. But it's a one ST and third the word, right? So it goes uptown.
We're the third. Well, the third is a word.
It goes up in numbers.
Oh, come on.
No.
Up in numbers and down in legs?
Up in numbers and across in words. But they're still numbered words. So when they go like, oh, I'm up on, you know, first and 10th, it's first the
number. Really
and
10th, good.
And it's all over the country. It's fucking brilliant. You never, when someone says that and you can conceptualize south and north, you know exactly where someone is in town.
Is that the best thing that Americans have ever done?
Is it the best thing they've ever done? Do you know, it depends on whether you
obviously
think
they used to have slavery and that was great, but
well,
I'm joking, you fucks. Go on, what else? Well,
you know, we still have slavery. I mean, anyone who's got a job knows that.
No.
You reckon it's different?
Yes.
I agree with you completely. I've just been a dick.
Get on with it.
Of course it's different. It's very different. What else? Look, if you're on the side of the Allies, then perhaps them jumping in a couple of wars could be seen as pretty good.
They were always late to the party, though. They always sat back on the sidelines and just, you know, let's... I mean, when they weren't dealing with their own fucking civil war.
Hmm. Yeah.
Speaking of slavery, go on.
Yeah. I don't know. But that whole
thing... I think it's the best thing
God,
we've ever done.
Like, it's brilliant. Yeah. I wonder if it's particularly American, or did they adopt it from the French?
See? What?
Yeah.
Oh.
It took a lot of cool stuff from France. Because obviously...
Well, they took a lot of place names.
Mm.
Mm.
Where?
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 I don't think French say we. I think they say we.
They do. They say we.
Yeah. Over there. That's where you're...
It's over there.
Perspicacity is. should we tell them anything else? The world? Hey, world. Matt's got something to tell you.
No, no.
He had a whole bunch of stuff to tell you last week, and I said, no, we're done.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Do you want to tell us something from last week?
Do you ever... do you read the notes that I write?
Often.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do they ever make you laugh?
Yes.
Good.
Also, I think, God, I'm a dick.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that you're particularly responding to last week, though, where Matt says he's got something else to say and Dom usurps the moment. No, that was
That's
funny.
Why I asked you, because I read it and went, oh, I should ask him if he still wanted to say the things he wanted to say last week.
Because you would often hear me use the phrase, Dom does the heavy lifting on this thing, on most things. But I mean, have you seen his balls? So, but I get to have the last word in writing the notes about what we've spoken about. So I can be incredibly selective about what I choose to highlight.
It's true. Yeah,
Dom and Matt have a disagreement.
It reads to me, did you ever, did you see the movie Fight Club or read the book?
Dude.
Yes.
Yeah, both.
Did you both, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, they refer to the series of magazine articles that are written in the first person for the organ, the body
yes,
organ.
Yes, yes.
So I am John's lungs.
Of course.
Right. Your notes read like that to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they read like that. Like, Dom does this, Matt does this.
Yeah.
Matt says this, Dom does this.
Oh, well, yeah. So I deliberately write them in the third person, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. And weird. I read it like, you know, we are Matt and Dom's podcast. I like it. That's good.
No, I don't really have anything else to say except that, you know, if you are listening to this in time for the show on Saturday that we're doing off chapel, you should really make it your business to come along. And that's, I know that sounds kind of not demanding, no, highfalutin, no, something needy, no. But I just think it'll be a really fun time. And I think you'd, if you come along, I think you'll actually really enjoy yourselves. I think you'll enjoy yourselves the same way we do. A little bit like when we do the live podcast thing.
Yeah,
where it just kind of like it's a kind of an immersive experience.
Yeah, and I think the what I was talking about earlier about, you know, working out why you do something, and to be able to get back together in such a lovely way with people who, you know, you had. Not only did you have great times with, but continue to, you know, have a lot of care, respect and reverence for, and then to come back and to go, look what we did together. This was great. And
isn't an Eagles hell freezes over thing.
No. And it's grounded in, like, I don't mean to be all hippie and whatnot. Not that that would be bad, but it's grounded with a love
100%
for each other and reverence, and it's also a very it's a really nice thing to be able to look back on a time in your life and honor it, if you know what I mean, I think a lot of people, particularly, you know, people when they're, you know, they did something in their 20s and they might feel like, oh, this is the thing that got away or something like that, and they don't get to look back. And often, because for those people, things end badly.
Mm.
And for some reason, they don't feel that they're not able to reconcile and get back into it. Obviously, a lot of bands and whatnot, you know, can. But, or things like sports people or whatnot. Well, you can't play again, you know. And so something that we were able to do and engage in again and do in such a positive way is lovely. It's really great. And if you were to come and witness, it would be worth coming to witness that, because just to know that people can do that, it's lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I mean, and it's a direct follow-on effect from the number of times I've heard people say, well, people have said it about the Ralph Thomas Band, and it I heard it many, many times when we were up in Ely Beach in this last tour that we did for the festival. Where people said to me a number of times and to the other guys, but you guys just look like you really like each other. Mm. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
We do. We have a really good time up there. Like, you know, and that's what this is. You know, we've all been in each other's lives in various capacities, not just musically, but friendship-wise and all that sort of thing, and like at weddings and all that sort of, Richie's wedding, Tara's, Steve's wedding.
And Tara's.
Yeah, yeah. I was just thinking of the boys in the band. And the only reason we weren't at Matt's wedding was because it happened overseas. So...
not the only reason. There's some controversy. We just weren't invited.
What?
Were you invited?
Oh, but... oh.
No.
No, fuck him. You're right.
I had a funny... right about the time when they were getting married, one of our mutual friends said, can't wait to see you at the wedding. I was like, oh, when's that happening? I don't know. I didn't get invited.
Hmm. Oh. But don't come on Saturday, it's going to be shit out.
No, but that's really important. Like, for about half a second, I actually thought, should I feel like I should have been invited to someone's wedding? And it's like, actually, well, I'm just happy they're getting married. That's fucking great. Like, there was, and that's when you know that, that's when you know that how you feel about someone is, like, it's not clouded by your... you know, your idea of what things should be. It's pure. And
it's not clouded by ego.
No, not at all. And it's like, well, I, it's when someone says my wedding, that's the point. It's theirs. Like, if you don't get invited to someone's wedding, well, you would hope you get invited to your own, but anyone else's wedding is like, why would you ever have a problem with that? Like, it's their wedding. Now, of course I can extrapolate why people might have that stuff, but as you said, it's ego things. And I've got, but yeah, I did have that thought. It's like, should I? Well, I'm not bothered by that. Like, how exciting is it? That, you know, they're getting married. That's great.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear the story. And when I heard the story, I was like, nothing but, oh, it's been stopped automatically. Anyway, we're about to finish anyway.
Why did it?
It said it's full. The card.
Worst.
Mm. But there will be audio.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
Slider biscuits. Thanks, mate. hey, man. I love you.
See you Saturday.
Yeah, I'll be there.